It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and happy Tuesday, right, Steve? Tuesday all day long?
Yeah, let's not have another one of those days.
Yeah, getting ahead of myself. Happy October. Can you believe it is October 1st?
I can't figure out where this whole year has gone. I mean, there are all kinds of different flags I could bore you with, but it's like I look at another person. We did something like back in January at the Sportsman's Expo downtown, and they come into the station to record, and that was January, right? And we look at each other, and we both had the same affliction. Where is this year going?
It is just flying by. I think it's because there's so many issues out there. Doing this show every morning, we are dedicated to bringing forth issues to talk about them regarding freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are seeing this romance with socialism. We're seeing a movement at our city councils, at our school boards, at our counties, at our state, this move towards socialism. And socialism ultimately hurts everyday hardworking people. And socialism ultimately has to come down to force. And if something is such a great idea, you should not have to force it. And so we're going to be talking about important issues today. Before we jump into all this, thank you to producer Steve. Thank you to Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie for all of your work. Yesterday, we rolled out the big new rebranding with the Kim Munson Show. Let's have a conversation. And thank you to all of you well wishers. I will get my emails caught up here within the next few days. But thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate the calls. And then the World War II Project is becoming America's Veteran Story so that we can encompass stories from all of the different wars, conflicts, and peacetime. And so thank you to Zach. He has just worked diligently to get this whole rebranding done. So go to my website. It's kimmunson.com. And Munson is spelled M-O-N-S-O-N, so that's kimmunson.com. It is beautiful. And then the other one is americasveteranstories.com. And so be sure and check those out. They are really good looking, aren't they, Steve?
This guy, I went to media school X amount of years ago, and we did web design. We did web pages, blah, blah, blah. But the work that Zach is doing here is just phenomenal, exceptional. I don't know. He's very gifted.
Yes, and I'm gifted to have such an amazing team. So thank you to each of you and to you listeners. Thank you. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and do something today to take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And if you do those things, it kind of takes care of working towards living, the best life that you can live, Steve.
Absolutely. There's so many things that can drag you down, but there's if you go looking for them, there's some things that can really build you up.
That's for sure. So dragging down, socialism drags us down. It brings everybody down to the lowest common denominator. And you're seeing what socialism is it's basically control of all of the major the things that are good for our life regarding, freedom in transportation, education, energy, housing, water. We're seeing socialization in broadband, data. And surveys show that Americans really like freedom instead of force. And so we're seeing this socialization, this government control with rules and regulations and excessive taxation of each of these entities. And so we need to be working to move towards freedom on these, responsible freedom. As our friend Ben Martin says, actually liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And freedom, so liberty isn't you get to do whatever you want to willy-nilly. It's a responsible exercise of that. But it's freedom instead of government controlling all of that. And then, of course, communism is the next step from socialism, where communism just government owns everything. But socialism is where government controls that. And we're seeing that with the administrative state, here in America. And, we're waking up. We're like, wait a minute. I don't think I really like that. Steve,
are
your
we,
comment?
Are we really waking up? Every time you say surveys show that Americans prefer freedom, And my first thought is, yeah, if they're aware that their freedoms are being impacted somehow, but I just don't get the sense that we're really that awake.
Well, I think that we're really starting to wake up. You know, when we had this growth initiative out in Lakewood, you know, I'm a free market girl, I'm a property rights girl, and so I was concerned about that because, you know, we certainly want to honor property rights. But what we're seeing happen is on city councils and these planning commissions is they are using the power of government to control private property with rezoning and zoning. And the movement, the planners are wanting to move people out of their cars and out of their personal homes into these apartment buildings that you're seeing built up and down the corridor. And another example is right over at Streets of South Glen, where you're seeing the application to rezone the Sears property there to put up a 4 or 5 story apartment building. It doesn't fit within that particular neighborhood. And so now that people are starting to see what is happening, the results of what has been happening on these city councils and these planning commissions, they're saying, wait a minute. And of course, the knee-jerk reaction is we don't want that kind of growth, so we're going to put a growth limit in. And so what has happened is people haven't been paying attention. They've been trusting their politicians that get elected to these different offices, and they're going, wait a minute, these folks, they're trying to plan my life. They're not trying to make sure that I have freedom to go about my life. And so I think people are waking up, Steve.
I hope you're right. I really do. And I look at the stories that Patty sends us daily. If you talk about socialism, and these stories aren't per se about socialism per se, but they, when you think it through, you realize that this these stories that we're looking at are all symptomatic of something bigger, and that is socialism. Whether it's this issue with traffic downtown or minimum wage is on our list mm-hmm. again. It's like this is government control.
Well, and yes, and you continue to mention to me that, Kim, you need to make sure that you, when we talk about these issues, it's like the broadside of a barn to me. I see force all over this. But we need to make sure that we explain that and clarify that. So I will continue to do my best on that. Before we do that, though, the show. We've got an amazing show planned for you today. And Jace McBride is off today, so his colleague John Buckingham will be calling in at the bottom of the hour. And so it'll be great to talk with him with Presidential Wealth Management. Third and fourth segment, we will be talking with former state senator Tim Neville. Now, we're seeing once, you know, the other thing, Steve, is we cannot be giving government a blank check. And that is one of the great things about TABOR, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And it basically says to government, hey, government, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, interested parties, if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or if you want to keep our tax refunds, and we'll give you a very generous formula of population plus inflation, if you want to keep our tax refunds above that, you have to ask us. Well, you know what they're asking? They're asking to have our tax refunds forever with Proposition CC. And out in Jefferson County, they have Issue 1A, which is asking to keep Jefferson County residents' tax refunds forever. Unbeknownst to us, there are many counties that have already de-tabored, but I don't think that people really knew what they were voting for. And we'll be doing a voter's guide to try to help you understand these issues. We'll do it under the style of the Federalist Papers of making the case always for working towards freedom. And I don't think people have really understood that. And so we are working diligently to bring these issues forward. Steve, you look like you have a comment.
I did, but I was so engrossed in what you were saying, my train jumped the track. It had something to do with TABOR, though. I remember that. So if it comes back, I'll raise my hand.
When it comes back, you do that. So before we jump in with our inspirational quote, we have two new sponsors that I want to say welcome to, and that is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial. He is an expert in mortgages. He also works with Jace McBride and John Buckingham. And it's great to have Lauren as a new sponsor. And he's an expert, again, in mortgages and reverse mortgages, which can be a good tool for people 62 years and older. But you really need to have somebody that knows what they're doing and make sure that you're communicating with everybody in the family what's going on. And Lauren Levy can help you navigate that.
Can I give him a pitch already? Is it too early to give him a pitch?
No, why don't you go ahead?
Because I called him last week, and we we made contact, I had a big question, a very pressing question. I can't go into the details, but man, he knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff.
Yeah, I hung up the phone and I just looked at my wife and said, wow.
Yeah, so I'm thrilled to have him. Each one of my sponsors, as many of you know, I buy my airtime on both of my shows. So that means I am truly an entrepreneur, and I have full editorial control of my show. I love that. But there's also the risk, just the stress of being an entrepreneur. So I want to say thank you to all of my sponsors. The other new sponsor is Chris Cantwell. He's back with Transworld Business Advisors. If you are going to buy a business or sell a business, Chris Cantwell is the guy to talk to about that. But all of my sponsors, Hooters Colorado, there's a very special story about that, and we're going to get that on the website. But Karen Levine, she's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. 88 Drive-In Theater, Water's Edge Winery. Hold on just a second, everybody. Liberty Toastmasters, First American State Bank, Presidential Wealth Management, Liberty Oil Fill Services. Thank you to each of you. I greatly appreciate you, and I can endorse each of you and say that you're all great business people. Our inspiration for today, since we're going to be talking about taxes, I thought the great economist Thomas Sowell, he's an American economist, social theorist. He's currently a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute out in Stanford. He was born in North Carolina. He grew up in Harlem, New York. He dropped out of high school, served in the U.S. Marine Corps during the Korean War. He then received his bachelor's degree, graduating magna cum laude from Harvard University in 1958, and a master's degree from Columbia University in 1959. He is an amazing man. He is very, very wise. And he says, it is amazing how much panic one honest man can spread in a multitude of hypocrites.
Wow. You know, I look at the show notes that you put out, obviously, before we go on the air, and I saw that. I thought, okay, our president, he's no angel, but he is an advocator for the little guy. And when I saw that and what he's up against daily, I thought, okay, there it is.
There it is. You're seeing it for sure. So again, Thomas Sowell said, it is amazing how much panic one honest man can spread in a multitude of hypocrites. Just take a look at Washington, D.C.
You know, I'm going to change the subject, and you're going to hate me, but Fox News is running this deal. What is the potential ultimate goal here of what's going on right now with this impeachment nonsense is to get Nancy Pelosi in the White House to be the first female president.
Nancy Pelosi?
Yep. Fox News, it's on their website right now.
Hmm.
I'm not saying that that's the thrust of what's going to happen today or tomorrow, but ultimately the goal, they're taking the wraps off of this this present push for impeachment. So that's the goal. That make your head spin.
That does make my head spin, huh? I'm going to have to think about that. Okay, our joke for the day, then we're going to go to break. I like this one, Steve. Okay, ready? Okay, there was a man who made his tax returns promptly and properly, only to find out that he owed the IRS $3,407. He packaged up his payment and included this letter. Dear IRS, enclosed is my tax return and payment. Please take note of the attached article from the USA Today newspaper. In the article, you will see that the Pentagon is paying $171.50 for hammers, and NASA has paid $600 for a toilet seat. So please find enclosed 4 toilet seats, value $2,400, and 6 hammers, value $1,029. This brings my total payment to $3,429. Please note the overpayment of $22 and apply it to the Presidential Election Fund as noted on my return. Might I suggest you then send the above-mentioned fund a 1.5-inch screw because see the attached HUD article where they paid $22 for a 1.5-inch Phillips head screw. It's been a pleasure to pay my tax bill this year, and I look forward to paying it again next year. I've just read an article about the Pentagon and screwdrivers. Sincerely, disgruntled in Oklahoma. We're gonna.
You know, if you're disgruntled, that's really bad. Just being gruntled is one thing, but being disgruntled, that's really bad. Severe.
Okay. Well, no disgruntling here. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we have some headlines in the second segment, third and fourth segment. We will talk with former State Senator Tim Neville. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. Let's have a conversation. Just a note, Mike Gallagher during the break mentioned that President Trump would like to meet this whistleblower. Wouldn't we all? If I were a betting woman, I don't think that there really is a whistleblower. I think it's all a big fabrication.
That's the scuttle that's out there. But, you know, I said we don't normally touch the national stuff. It takes care of itself. We more preoccupied with state and local. But if I hear the word whistleblower one more time, I'm going to explode.
Yeah. You know, we have some really interesting interviews coming up at the end of the week that is going to be very interesting on those issues. Let's jump into some headlines. Apparently, Facebook was blowing up yesterday regarding one of the Polis recall groups. Apparently, they had raised a bunch of money and they paid some to themselves and their associates, and then they gave some of it away. And, you know, I pretty well have stayed away. I stayed away from that whole recall Polis thing. We had Karen Cataline on the show once. To talk about it. She's with a different group. But, you know, I think that what happens is people now don't trust these recall efforts. Instead of refunding the money, they did stuff with it. And I guess people are pretty unhappy about it. I've been a bit ambivalent about it, Steve, but I guess it was something that really was resonating with some folks yesterday on Facebook.
The whole effort, I think, was well-intentioned. I believe in what they were doing, but the way they went about it was just goofy, and they basically shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, and unfortunately, then, as we move into the future, people are less trusting of signing these petitions. And I know that there had been talk about government doing something about reining in recalls. I kind of think you're seeing the free market work on this. Because people may be reticent in the future to sign those recall petitions. I know that one of my friends was very concerned about just the data collection on it. And I think that, again, the free market will take care of this because people say, you know, I don't think I'm going to sign that. And so I think, you know, I think, yes, maybe it was well-intentioned. They look at what Polis did. He kind of said one thing. He did another, particularly with the oil and gas industry. But there's a lot of things that he said he was going to do, and he did. And so where we really need to do is I think we need to work towards getting good candidates and making a difference in these elections.
Making better choices. But again, the worst that can happen is we're stuck with them for a 4-year term, and let's make sure it's not 8 years.
Well, and as a journalist, and clearly we are opinion journalists, but we do strive for truth. We're trying to bring truth out. You know, we need to take a look at these issues and make sure that we are shedding light on what is going on. You know, the fact, what was it last week that Polis was trying to shut down a couple of our publications regarding what he was doing as, you know, starting these new offices, the Office of Future Work, the Office of Reducing Cost in Healthcare, and I think the other one was
something
an Office of Parks and Recreation or something. It's like, honestly.
Clean Air Commission that appointed a panel of how many people?
24.
Yeah.
Okay. 24.
And these people, 24 people, were doing it for free? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And to that point, You know, so here on these recall polis, these different efforts, they did raise money. They raised money from hardworking people. But what you see on the other side is they figured out how to take money from taxpayers, like Planned Parenthood, and they are out there registering people to vote. They're having people sign petitions, and they are paying people. But at the time, they were getting almost a half billion dollars in taxpayer money. And so the radical left has figured out how to push forward their agendas and do it on our dime. It is absolutely diabolically brilliant and immoral.
There were two things that, you know, again, you get disappointed. Maybe you really wanted to see him recalled, and boy, you're going to send a powerful message, and it's not going to happen. But just watch him stand back and watch him burn down his own house. The thing with going after the two different publications, not to run a certain story, and what was the other one? Something with budget. Found out just how much that all-day kindergarten was really going to cost. They went in with a low-ball projection and sold it that way, and now they find out they're, what, $50 to $80 million under?
I know.
So just stand back and watch him burn his own house.
Well, and the problem with that is it's burning our house. I was thinking about it this morning before I came in, and, you know, I've loved Denver. Denver is called the Queen City of the Plains. She's a beautiful city, and what we have seen with these cities that have had Democrat leadership for many years, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, our beautiful cities are becoming third world countries. And if you don't think it can happen in Denver, it can. And so let's go to this piece about, this was in Reason. Denver's proposed $15.87 minimum wage hike hurts the people it's really trying to help. Introduced by Democrat Mayor Michael Hancock and Councilwoman at Large Robin Nisch, the measure would take effect in January of 2020, when businesses would be required to pay employees at least $13.87 an hour. After the additional $2 raise in 2021, the minimum would increase by 15% or $1.75 an hour, whichever is greater, every year after. The current Colorado minimum wage is $11.10 an hour. Researchers have long argued over the merits of minimum wage laws. A study from the University of Washington found that Seattle's minimum wage hurt the city's low-skilled workers, while a paper from the University of California at Berkeley says such reservations are unfounded even in rural areas. It's likely that there's at least some truth to both conclusions. Some people earn more, some people work fewer hours for a higher hourly wage and end up breaking even, and some others might even be shut out of the workforce. So, Steve, as we think about our young people, I was talking with a politician the other day, and we were talking about Jefferson County and them wanting to de-Tabor their tax refunds. And she said, Kim, but we continue to have a greater and greater demand for services. And Steve, I'm thinking, why? Why are we having a greater and greater demand for services? What is going on in our society? Why? Why do we need more and more money for government services? And the incentives are all wrong with government. We have fine people working in government, but the incentives are all wrong. There's no reward for, you know, going that extra mile, doing an extra job. And so we have the incentives all wrong, but yet we want to give more money to them because we have more a greater demand for services. Something is wrong in our society right now, Steve.
This came out several times yesterday when Roger was with us. The two of you made this point very well. And I don't use the Postal Service as an example. How, you know, look at how postage just keeps on climbing and climbing and climbing, but is the service any better?
The service is not better. Again, on an individual basis, there's fine people that work in all of these different entities, but the incentives are wrong. And my example regarding Chick-fil-A, they offer a great product. They get you in and out. They have somebody there trying, you know, to take the order, somebody to take the payment, somebody to deliver your order. You're in and out in 10 minutes. I needed to get a new tax ID from the IRS, and their automated system was down. I had to apply via snail mail. It took 3 weeks, plus we had to do another nudge, and they didn't care. They didn't care that I was waiting, that I had all these other things that I needed to do. They didn't care. And so the problem is the incentives are wrong. So why on earth are we going to give more and more money and power and reduce transparency on government by detabling our state? I don't understand it. Steve, you're just shaking your head. So,
well, the ponderance is the same on this side of the glass. I don't get it.
Okay, so I think I need to make my point though, on this forced minimum wage. There is the word force. It is forcing employers, and many of these small businesses don't operate on really high margins. It is forcing them to pay their people a certain wage. And what is going to happen is they will automate, the owners will work more hours, they will hire less people, and then we wonder why we have youth that's on the street that they don't know, you know, that they're filling their time with things that are unproductive. It's because they can't get a job because people can't afford to hire them and they can't get that first job, which is so important so that people can go on and work up the economic ladder.
This article that Patty supplied us with on this topic, it took apart the example. It used the restaurant in this industry as an example in terms of how you inflict minimum wage on an industry. And the last paragraph seems to make the most sense. I hope you don't mind me reading it. When the cook making $17 an hour sees the server getting a 50% raise to do the same job, the cook is going to want $20 an hour. But remember, the restaurant has less money to work with to accommodate that. So again, the restaurant has to raise prices and decrease costs, including cutting staff, in order to survive.
And so ultimately, people lose their jobs.
People lose their jobs, and the consumers who come to that establishment are going to see higher prices.
Right, and possibly less service as well. So let's before we go to break, John Buckingham is on the line. John Buckingham, what was your first job?
My first job was mowing lawns when I was about 11 years old.
You know what? My kids mowed lawns, and it was one of the best things for them because they had to be responsible. They had to do a good job. They had to collect the money. That is an excellent first job, John Buckingham.
Well, thank you.
11 years old, too. And it wasn't child labor, was it? It was your choice. You went out and worked.
And that's just it. Back then, they didn't have restrictions on when you could start working, which meant, yeah, you could do whatever you wanted as long as you went out and found the job that would hire you, you could do it.
Right. So great, great first job. And I am a real proponent of kids having jobs because they have their own money and they learn the responsibility. And 11 years old, it keeps you out of trouble. It's also because my dad always said, idle hands is the devil's workshop. So keeping busy, I think, is an important thing. And you keep pretty busy, John Buckingham, over at Presidential Wealth Management. You and Jason, you work with Lauren Levy as well, who's the mortgage specialist. You guys are pretty busy over there. But what is the market saying? The market many times looks at what's going on out there and tries to give us some idea. What are you seeing regarding this whole impeachment thing? What's the market think about that?
I think the market's just kind of shrugging it off. And normally, in a situation where potential uncertainty is going to happen, the market panics. And so I think it's pretty clear that the market overall thinks at this point that, you know, the whole impeachment thing is based on a lot of nonsense. I mean, anyone who has actually read the transcripts of, you know, the call and what the whistleblower has said, it's just one more way that they're trying to attack the president to get him out of office or to create panic among the people. And it is really having no effect on the market, which kind of says everything that we need to know about the charges that they're bringing forth this time.
Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. And John Buckingham, you guys and gals over at Presidential Wealth Management really specialize in, you know, individual service to each. I mean, each person is individual. It's unique. And so you guys will sit down, do discovery sessions with folks, find out their needs, find out their personalities, and work together to help them with their economic well-being.
Absolutely. And that's what we pride ourselves in, is making sure that that portfolio is designed for that individual or couple to make sure it gets them what they need.
And so if people would like to talk to you, they can give Natalie a call. She'll be at the switchboard at 7:30. And the number over there at Presidential Wealth Management is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. John, thanks so much. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
My pleasure. I'll see you then.
Sounds great. We're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. Let's have a conversation with Tim Neville about what's going on out in Jefferson County. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Enjoy three movies under the stars, all for only $9. Angel Has Fallen, It, Chapter 2, and Scary Stories. The 88 Drive-In is moving to their fall schedule, so they will be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, but closed Tuesday and Wednesday. The box office opens at 6 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and 6:30 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Thursday. For more information, visit 88drivein.net.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Kim Munson Show, and we're going to have a conversation in just a moment with former State Senator Tim Neville. Steve, you had just another comment you wanted to make regarding this forced minimum wage that looks like it's going to be instituted here in Denver starting in January.
Every time I see the topic come up, no matter what level they're talking about, the first thing I can think about is this is vote buying bait.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the, I'm sorry, there's people out there who desperately need to make more money. And that's, you know, that's reality.
And you know what you do is you go out, you work harder, maybe you work more hours, and you make yourself so valuable that you get a raise.
Exactly.
There you go. So, Tim Neville, what do you think about that?
The minimum wage?
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's not about minimum wage, and it's not about helping the people on the lower end of the rung. Matter of fact, it's going to hurt them the most. It's about making sure that the unions get what they do with prevailing wage.
Well, and, you know, these little companies, these little mom-and-pop operations, they're so many times they're operating on very thin margins. And so it's not only the minimum wage goes up, but then they have, you know, they have do the matching on the payroll withholding on Social Security and Medicare. So those expenses go up as well. So it exponentially really makes it tough on small businesses. And that's really unfortunate.
It's an anti-hiring plan, I guess.
There you go. But that's not what we were going to talk about, Tim Neville. You served in the Colorado State Senate, and you were term limited. And you and I were talking.
No, actually, I lost my last election in Jefferson County.
That's right. I forgot that that was the case because, there was a radical blue wave that kind of hit Colorado in that last election, wasn't there?
That's correct.
Yes. And that's why we need to understand these issues. And what's happening out in Jefferson County, I think it's called Issue 1A, right? That's going to be on the ballot?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead and set it up. What is it exactly?
Well, sure. 1A is basically, most people are familiar with Article 10, Section 20, Taxpayer Bill of Rights. This is a debrucing, as it's been getting known for. But basically, this is eliminating the Taxpayer Bill of Rights at the county level for there are two pieces to this proposal. The first piece eliminates the need for taxpayer
approval.
Taxpayers to be able to get, approval. No, it doesn't eliminate. It eliminates the. Let me say first of all, the people that crafted this are, they know what they're doing because they've done it before with referendum C and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jefferson County commissioners went out and really focused on how they could convince the people of Jefferson County to basically increase their taxes without calling it a tax increase. And that's exactly what this does. It says that the language is pretty crafty. It says without creating any new tax, of course, we already have the taxes in place, or increasing the current authorized maximum county mill levy. Now, people have to understand that we're not at the maximum county mill levy because of the taxpayer bill of rights. It actually allows government to grow at the rate of inflation plus population growth. And in Jefferson County, that means over the last 5 years that county government has grown at about 23.35%. So it has grown, but it's not enough. It's not enough for those people that want more. So saying that they can take it up to the maximum mill levy and then not give you any money back, no matter how much money flows into county government, that's their focus. Now, that's on the, that is, that affects also, everything that Jefferson County gets. But their focus is even more crafty because this calls for basically a seven-year timeout or seven-year timeout. And they say that it's only going to be a $16.1 million increase in revenue, or as you can say, increase in your taxes or the money you're not going to get back the first year. However, that's on a they give you a lot of different numbers in here. And they act like they're doing you a favor. It's sort of like when you go to McDonald's and you give them a $10 bill. If they were to give you, your bill is $8, and they give you $2 back, and you're supposed to say, oh, thank you very much for the $2 that I gave you of my money that you gave me back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, Kim, that's really kind of despicable about this, in my opinion, is that there's language in here. In 2027, when this is supposed to go away, and we don't know if it's going to go away, if it could be retained or whatever else, anything that is spent, I mean, anything that is brought in that is non-property tax revenue would not be limited in the future. In other words, those limitations are wiped out. So if you want to think about, this is about 50% of the Jefferson County budget. So it would include everything from licenses, permits, fines, forfeitures, charges for services, any other miscellaneous fees that might come along, intergovernmental transfers, which were always interesting because this is a way sometimes of one government shelling money to the other and potentially then avoiding the taxpayer bill of rights limitation.
Mm-hmm.
That goes away permanently.
So the answer really should be no. There's two other things, though, that we're hearing out there. First of all, that there's so many other counties that have detabored. And I would submit to you, Tim Neville, that most people did not even realize that they were detabering their counties. We've seen it in, you know, cities, counties. We've seen it with special districts, your road districts, your park districts. And I think every time I read the ballot issues, and if I see a detabering in there, I immediately vote no, because I am not interested in giving a blank check to, you may love the politicians that are in office right now, but what if you don't like them 5 years from now? To give them a blank check takes away the accountability. And the answer must be no. We need to have transparency, no blank check. We need to have transparency and accountability in government.
Well, Kim, I agree, and I think you've seen what happens when government grows and those limitations are taken off even temporarily. You know, we had that situation with referendum C back in the early 2000s, and government grew tremendously. We've seen like a tripling of the budget in the last two decades of the state budget. And right now, the state budget, elected officials to guarantee that the money will be used for what we think it should be used, it just doesn't happen. At the state level, you see another $1 billion of extra revenue over every year has been coming in. And yet, we haven't seen any kind of increase in the key area that we that I think most people in Colorado would say that the biggest issue is the building of roads and bridges and highway transportation.
Well, Tim Neville, the other thing that we're hearing is that there is not enough money. And in fact, if this doesn't pass, that the sheriff is going to have to make big cuts in his department. And you know, safety, maintaining the peace, that's important for people. And so it's, to me, it seems like this is kind of the public relations component of this, saying if you don't pass this, then you're not going to have these very essential services that people, you know, really value. But yet, I don't think that Jefferson County doesn't have enough money. I mean, you said that they have, what, increased their budget 23.5%?
That's correct. About 5.84% per year. And if you take a look at that, and the budget is going to increase next year. It's not going to decrease. Question is it going to increase fast enough for what Jefferson County politicians want to do? Now, that may be a problem. They may have to make decisions. And I would agree with the sheriff and the district attorney that public safety should be one of the number one priorities of government. I disagree with the idea that you just go back because government, those county commissioners cannot rightfully prioritize their spending, that they go back immediately to the pockets and think we all have deep pockets here in Jefferson County, and increase the amount of revenue coming in directly at the expense of Jeffco taxpayers and business.
Well,
and Kim, remember,
go ahead.
This is going to affect businesses tremendously. So when we start talking about, I get so frustrated when we talk about, when we see politicians talk about affordability and job opportunities and everything else. This is a job killer.
Looks like we have a lot of job-killing things going on out there. And we're going to go to break, Tim Neville, and let's just kind of let this ruminate. But it seems to me like, I mean, if Jefferson County, they detaper. So, you know, they have unlimited revenues that they can, and they don't have to be accountable. We see over here on Proposition CC, and what we're talking about right now is the tax refund component of it. And your example is very good. You go to McDonald's, you give them $10, you buy $8 worth of goods, and then they say, hey, we just like to keep those $2 forever. You know, you already gave it to us, so why can't we just keep it? I mean, that's a really important example there. But it seems to me like everyday hardworking people, you know, tax increase here because they keep more money, tax increase at the state, forced minimum wage. I mean, at some point in time, it's like we're all going to be working for the government at this rate.
Well, those are the only people I think that are going to prosper. But we know that kind of system, I mean, it's basically, it's called socialism, and it usually crushes, it gets crushed by its own weight because you don't have enough people producing and you have more people consuming than producing.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We have on the line with us former State Senator Tim Neville. We're talking about this detabering out in Jefferson County and also the detabering, which is Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, that they're attempting to do here on the ballot in the state as well. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. I have on the line with me former state senator here in Colorado, Tim Neville. And Tim, I have to say, I've watched you as an elected official, and I think there's a difference between elected officials and politicians. And I saw many, many times that you stood for everyday hardworking Coloradans, and I gratefully am so grateful for that, because people that are out there going after their hopes and dreams are trusting, too trusting, that people that are getting into office really have the hardworking people's best interest in mind, and some people do, but there's a lot that don't. There's a lot that get into office, and they, in both sides of the aisle, think that they know better how people should live their lives than everyday individuals. So thank you for taking some of the stands that took a lot of courage to do that. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Kim. I appreciate that. And I think that it's pretty simple when you know what you identify what the right things are to do, and you kind of don't worry so much about the fallout from that, you know. And I think it's a focus you have to have a trust in a higher being to actually make that happen.
To this point, Tim, as you know, I served on city council for 4 years in Lone Tree, and there were some times that I would vote no on issues. I would vote no if I felt it was overreach of government, if it was not the proper role of government. But, you know, for the things that I felt government was supposed to do within the constraints of, you know, you look at the vision of the Declaration, the Constitution, and make sure that you honor those things. And then, you know, your basic services that people expect, like, you know, law. Actually, I hate to say law enforcement. It used to be peace officers. And I don't like to say law enforcement, because if you have laws that are passed that are not good laws, that don't adhere to the vision of the Constitution, I really don't like having people enforce those laws. Of course, I'm thinking immediately of like a red flag law that has no due process in it. But I know I'm getting off topic here. But it's important to stay true, as you mentioned, to these principles. And I would remember the mayor sometimes would look at me and he would say, "Is this the hill you want to die on?" And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I know you're going to get your 4-1 vote. So why does it matter if I vote no? But what I'm now realizing is if you don't stand on your principles and you start to waffle a bit and you start to move over, quote unquote, to the middle on these issues, then you become irrelevant. And then because you don't stand on anything, and people look at it and say, you know, she's not standing on anything. And Grover Norquist, when he was out here, he's with Americans for Tax Reform, he said, Republicans and conservatives need to keep their hands off the murder weapon. And we have Republicans and conservatives with their hands all over the murder weapon right now regarding trying to get rid of Tabor. And we're seeing that in Jefferson County. Tim, what would you say about that?
Without a doubt. This is not about, I have to tell those that are listening out there, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, whatever. This is really about the growth of government and understanding that those people in power have certain tendencies. And the focus of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights in our Constitution is to control those tendencies and to limit the bad tendencies that people may have. And also to focus on, you know, to really force them to make decisions in an equitable fashion so that the taxpayers are protected and their pocketbooks are also protected. And government can still get its growth and do what it should do. But it's not really, I think people need to understand, this is not just Republican versus Democrat, because we have many Republicans that are looking to grow government very, very willingly for various reasons.
Well, and if government grows, if government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller. That's just the way that it works. And Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, has been so great for Colorado. And all of these different politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties go out and tout the great economy here in Colorado. And I submit to you, it's because of Tabor. That Tabor has worked, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights has kept government in check. It's kept government, to some degree, made government more accountable. And when that occurs, then everyday people thrive and prosper. And so that is why we have to say no. I want to mention one other thing, though, Tim, as we're thinking mm-hmm. about it. And that is that you see these different counties or cities or school boards that use taxpayer money to go out and support, to try to advertise and get public opinion to support these tax increases. And there's something, I think, wrong about that.
Well, and this is the same situation here. I think there was my understanding, and I haven't seen all the information, but my understanding was that there was a contract given to help focus on what the correct language would be on this ballot initiative, how to reach various certain segments and groups, and you know, how to position this. And I'm assuming that based upon information that I've seen so far, you know, I don't know who else would have paid for that, you know, because, you know, did the taxpayers of Jefferson County pay for that? I guess we'll find that out, but, you know, I think it's probably a safe assumption that our money is being utilized in one form or fashion, directly or indirectly, to get us to give the government even more money.
Well, and
that's not right.
And the other point on that is, because I do know that does occur. I don't know it. Well, I don't know exactly what happened in Jefferson County, but yes, that does occur. But then there's the other thing is they say, well, no government money was used on this. And, but yet, interested parties many times will then pay to push for these issues. And in particular, I'm thinking of the big state sales tax increase that was on the ballot this last time around. And it was defeated because it was a significant tax increase, which hurts, again, everyday hardworking people. And the Denver Chamber was putting all kinds of money behind that. But interestingly enough, that there are many different cities, in fact, the city that I served on city council in, that actually are members of the chamber. So that we pay taxpayer money to the chamber. The chamber goes out and advocates for higher taxes for everyday hardworking people so that they can take more money from us. And it's a cycle that is very troubling to me, Tim.
Well, Kim, and if you remove many of these, you know, the taxpayer bill of rights caps, those are designed to kind of keep a light shining on what is being spent. But if you start growing those revenues at the expense of taxpayers, let me give you an example. Okay, one of the groups that signed on, of course, in support of this is the Jefferson County Economic Development Corporation. And when you take a look at the Economic Development Corporation, the first thing you would say is, well, who are the members? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are a number of construction companies, some of the larger, bigger companies in Jefferson County that have a presence in Jefferson County. You have a number of the banks that rely on a lot of bond business from Jefferson County governmental entities. You also have all of the cities and municipalities and even Denver Water and people like that are members of the Economic Development Corporation. And so people need to understand how this money, this fungible money, may find its way into certain campaigns. And it's sort of like, you know, I had a friend of mine that when I was doing work down in Louisiana, he explained the thing about graft or whatever in politics. And he says, well, it's not like we're stealing out of everybody, but he says, if you can imagine yourself being in a circle. And except that, you know, somebody's got their hand in your pocket, but you got your hand in somebody else's pocket. And everybody's got their hand in each other's pockets. And that's kind of just how things work down here, he said at the time. And I thought it was very interesting. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Everybody's got their hands in each other's pockets. And the truth be told, it seems like all of these interested parties in some form or fashion are probably feeding at the government trough.
Mm-hmm. This will be a great teaser for tomorrow's show, Tim Neville. Patty Kurgan, my researcher, has been doing some amazing research on economic development dollars. And she has come up with that the state of Colorado, and my friend Helen Raleigh says, you can't say government gives stuff because government doesn't give stuff. They take less from somebody else, but I'm going to use the word gives $6.6 billion in tax incentives to a myriad of businesses. And we're going to unveil that tomorrow. It's huge. So How is it that the everyday hardworking person needs to say, hey, government, yeah, you can keep my tax refunds, and the government is saying because we don't have enough money, but under the guise of economic development, what they're doing is they're picking winners and losers, and they're saying to this guy, you know, you're not going to have to pay as much in taxes. You're not going to have to adhere to the rules and regulations that the other guy does. And they do this under the guise of economic development. And ultimately, it will hurt us immensely, I think, Tim Neville. What's your final thought?
Well, my final thought is I think, you know, there is a group that is trying to fight this. If you go onto Facebook and you see, just basically Google up no on 1A and you will see various people. But it's really grassroots. I mean, we're talking about this is a David and Goliath fight.
I know.
And really what it comes down to, Kim, I think it can be defeated because people understand this and they get it. They understand when government tries to scare you into something, when even if it's a Republican sheriff that comes out and says that criminals will be loose on the street and everything else, it's like, well, wait a second. We have to get rid of Tabor in Jefferson County, even though, wait a second, 27 years we've had Tabor, and we've always balanced our budget, and we've also always stayed within the spending limitations. And if they really needed something, Kim, here's the key. If they really, truly needed something, there are two steps. First of all, you go to the county commissioners, and you get them to do their job, which they're supposed to do, which they haven't been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to appropriate according to need. Or, second of all, if there is truly a need, you sell that specific need, not a blanket total, you know, fill the pot with your money.
You got it.
And ask the Jeffco taxpayers for specific appropriations. And, you know, people get that.
They do get that.
This is about fear. And yeah.
For sure. So no on 1A out in Jefferson County, no on Prop CC at the state. Tim Neville, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim.
And Thomas Sowell said, as long as human beings are imperfect, there will always be arguments for extending the power of government to deal with these imperfections. The only logical stopping place is totalitarianism, unless we realize that tolerating imperfections is the price of freedom. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.